Good to have everyone here this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 again. If you have your Bible with you, if you don't, you can take one out of the songbook area there and follow along if you would like. We'll look at several scriptures this morning, and we do encourage you to participate as the Lord leads you in the Children's Spectacular. We're thankful for all the outreaches with the gospel that we're able to be involved in here locally. And also in the area and all over the world. As Chris read, we're responsible to get the gospel out all around the world. And we're thankful that as a local assembly of believers, that we have a concern for those who are anywhere and everywhere in the world, that they might hear the truth of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the Word of God and that we're able to proclaim it. And we'd like to do that again this morning as we consider together some thoughts that we have been covering the last few weeks concerning our minds. And this is all a part of a larger study following the nation of Israel from Egypt to Canaan and seeing how that applies to our own lives. And it's taken us into the book of Ephesians. And now we're down in chapter 6. And we're going to read just several verses for sake of time. But if you'd follow along, beginning in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And we've been taking that here in this particular passage, the thought of standing in the spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation." And we'll stop our reading there. We've been looking at this armor that God has provided for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You may be here this morning, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This armor is available, but only once you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only once you have acknowledged that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again, and you have received Him as Savior and Lord. He has become your Savior. Not just the Savior, but your Savior. And you have been forgiven of your sins, brought into the family of God, and also into the army of God by that simple act of faith in the Lord Jesus. And we trust that that is true of everyone here this morning. If it's not, we pray that God will use our time in the Word to speak to your heart and will convict you of your sin and your need to be forgiven by God through the Lord Jesus. But if you do know Jesus Christ as Savior, this armor is available. And we're told to take all this armor and to use it. To use it in such a way that we're having victory as Satan and the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness are coming against us, that we might have victory in those battles. And we're looking now at the helmet of salvation, which illustrates for us, as it protected the Roman soldier's head and brains from a physical blow, it protects our minds from the spiritual attack of Satan against us. And we've been considering the vital principle of renewal, that we be renewed in the spirit of our mind, Ephesians 4:23. And as we think about that renewal, we thought about those things that have to be put off, and we're thinking about those things that need to be put on. In other words, the helmet of salvation that God has provided is rescue, deliverance, salvation for our minds from Satan's attack. Now, it doesn't keep us from being attacked. Okay? When the Roman soldier put his helmet on, it wasn't like, hey, I don't have to worry now. Nobody's going to come after me. No, they were going to come after you anyway. But the helmet protected that part of your body. The same is true for us who are in a spiritual battle against Satan. It's not going to stop the attacks from coming. They're still going to come. Satan has been working for thousands of years, and he's not going to stop. But this helmet of salvation is God's protection. And we're seeing that one aspect of our minds being protected is the focus of our minds. Where is your mind? Where are your thoughts? You watch a ball game, and if you're down close enough where you can hear what the coaches are saying, sometimes you'll hear a coach tell a player, get your head in the game. You're there on the field, you're there on the court, but your head is somewhere else. Maybe he's thinking about his girlfriend. Maybe he's thinking about a class responsibility or how he's going to spend his big paycheck if he's a professional player. But it says, get your head in the game. Where are your thoughts? Where is your focus? And that's a challenge for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, it's easy for our minds to drift away. It's so easy for our minds to drift away. I'm going to ask you to turn to very quickly to Romans chapter 8. We touched on this verse last week. I just want to start out here. As you turn to Romans chapter 8, I'm going to just mention again 1 John chapter 2. I said we had a number of passages we wanted to look at this morning. But as you turn, listen to 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. John says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So John paints a contrast there between those who were battling the wicked one, Satan. On one side is the heavenly Father, and if we're born again, we're born into the family of God. On the other side is the world system, and Satan, we read in Scripture, is the god of this world. Where is your mind? Here in Romans chapter 8, notice verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind or focus their attention on the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now we read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 that the flesh has desires that are in opposition to the desires of the Holy Spirit. Now if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you still live in this human body, this flesh, but you also have the Spirit of God living within you. And there's a battle going on there, and that battle, among other things, is a battle for your mind. Where are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? If you were here last week, what are you thinking about? You remember that. Where are your thoughts? They could be on the flesh, and the flesh we might think of as the sensual. Over in Galatians chapter 5, we read about the works of the flesh. There are things like immorality. There are things like hatred and wrath and divisions and envy and murders and drunkenness and partying. And he said all these things are the works of the flesh. They're the outgrowth of having ourselves controlled by our flesh. In other words, if you just let your flesh go, that's where it'll come out. That's where it'll come out, in the sensual. But we also see here in Romans chapter 8 that there's not only the option to mind the things of the flesh, but also the things of the Spirit, the spiritual. Now, that same passage in Galatians 5 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. That is where our minds should be. You see, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, promised before He died and rose again and went back to heaven, He promised the disciples, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And He's going to not only be with you, He's going to be in you. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And He's the Spirit of truth, and He's coming, the Lord Jesus said, to testify of Me. The Lord Jesus wants to be at the center of your thoughts. What are you thinking about? Where is your mind? Where has your mind been this week? Some of you have probably been challenged at times, and I remember in a class in school being told by the teacher, I want you to keep up this week with how you spend your time. Keep a little chart. I like to do that myself just to keep me not only planning ahead, but to see what I've done. But have you ever done that, taken out a little chart and written down, okay, from 8 to 9 I did this, and from 9 to 9:30 I did. Have you ever done that and looked back and said, wow, I didn't realize I spent that much time doing whatever. No way. I see these statistics about how many hours people watch television. I think, who in the world could watch television that much? Have we ever stopped to say, how much television do I watch? Where am I on that? Well, what about your thoughts? Where are your thoughts? What about this past week? What if this next week you said, I'm going to keep a chart about where my thoughts are, where my mind is going? And there's a choice there where we can either think about the sensual or we can think about the spiritual. Where is your mind? Is it on things of the flesh? Or are your thoughts on things of the Spirit? Well, let's look over in Colossians chapter 3 at another choice. Two other options of where our minds might be. God wants your mind to be on the spiritual. Now, you're a human being. You live in a body. You've got to think about what to eat. You need to think about what to wear. There needs to be some thoughts on the sensual part of your being. But God's point is that the focus of your attention should be on the spiritual. And I would like to suggest that even when you're thinking about what you're going to eat, even when you're thinking about how much you're enjoying this food, even when you're putting on your clothes, even when you are taking care of your physical, that even within that, there should be a backdrop of the spiritual. As I eat my food, I shouldn't only be thinking about how good it tastes and how my stomach feels as I'm eating it. I should be thinking about where it came from. And I should be appreciative of that. And I should be thinking about how I could be using maybe some of what I spend on food to maybe benefit someone else who doesn't have food. Love. Kindness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. The flesh, our sensual, needs to be against the backdrop of the spiritual. Here in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, and it may have in your translation, focus your mind, put your attention. It's the same Greek as we had over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Set your mind, focus. Set your affection, focus your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So here's another set of choices. Am I going to think about things of the earth or things of heaven? Now in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 16, I read that verse about the world and the Father. And we had, first of all, that the lust of the flesh is of the world. It's not of the Father. And that speaks to us about what we just looked at in Romans chapter 8. Am I thinking on things of the flesh, the sensual, or things of the Spirit, the spiritual? Well, the second thing in that list of three in 1 John 2 is the lust of the eyes. What I see. Notice here the contrast between the things above and the things on the earth. The things on the earth can parallel with the lust of the eyes, because the things of the earth are the things that are visible, the things that are material, that I can put my hand on, that I can touch, that I can see. These things are temporal things. They only last for a short while. As good as any of this building material is, and it's lasted well, we praise God, for what, 40 years or so here? But it's not going to last forever. And you know what? That really nice house you have, or that one you want, it's not going to last ever, forever. And you know that car that you're so thankful you finally bought, it's not going to last forever. And the one that you will buy is not going to last forever either. And there's nothing of a material nature that's going to last forever. It's all temporal. It's all temporary. But then there are those things above, those things of heaven. You see, the things of heaven are the things that are eternal. These are the things that are invisible to our human eyes, but they are seen by the eyes of faith. And the person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, who has the Holy Spirit of God living within them, is able to see the things of heaven. And we've seen in Ephesians that we actually are living in the heavenly places in Christ, or we're supposed to be, spiritually speaking, even as we live here on this earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with the earth. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. There's a lot of things wrong with the earth because of sin. But it's not that the earth itself is bad and we shouldn't have anything to do with it. Of course, we live here. We need somewhere to live. We need food to eat. We need some mode of transportation. We need things. We need temporal things. But they're not to be the focus of our attention. Rather, we're to focus our thoughts on things above in heaven, the eternal. Paul says it this way by the Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians 4:18. He says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, Paul didn't mean I close my eyes so I can't see anything around me. No, that's foolishness. No, but he said, my attention, my focus, my heart, my thoughts are not caught up with the things of this life, of this earth. Rather, they're to be focused on things above. Where are your thoughts? Matthew 6:19, the Lord Jesus said, "Don't let your treasures be laid up here on the earth, because the moths and the rust are going to corrupt it. Thieves are going to break in and steal." No, rather, you have your treasures built up in heaven. That was the foolish rich man in Luke chapter 12 who had all of his treasures on the earth. And God said, "Tonight, your soul's going to be required of you. And what good is all of this going to do you? Nothing." How much better to have our thoughts on heaven. Philippians 3:20 tells us that's where our citizenship is, because that's where our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord is. Where are your thoughts? Are you thinking on things above? Oliver Wendell Holmes made that what I call infamous quote: "Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." I would suggest that the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you are. Because as you focus on the Lord Jesus and you think on things above, that shouldn't lead you to sit around and say, "Hey, I got it made. I'm going to heaven. I got plenty of riches." No, it should drive our hearts toward the children. It should drive our hearts toward the needy. It should drive our hearts toward those who don't know the Lord Jesus, because the things of this life, they're just passing away. They're temporal. They're not here forever. Even while I go to work and focus, yes, on my work, it should be against the backdrop of the eternal. And even as I deal with things here in this life on the earth, I should know that as wonderful as an experience on this earth might be, I need to always have it against the backdrop of what's going to last forever. These things are not going to last forever that are here. And even as we enjoy them, and even as we take care of them, and even as we invest in them, we need to be wise spiritually. And we need to focus our thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. And you know what? It's easy for our minds to drift away from the most important things. I remember when our third son, Joseph, was born, December the 6th. That's during basketball season. And I was in the hospital room with my wife as she was in labor. And she told me, all I want you to do is fan me with a magazine. That's all I want you to do. That's my only responsibility. She's going to do the rest. So I'm fanning her with the magazine. But you know what they have in hospital rooms, don't you? TVs. And there was a basketball game on. I don't even know who was playing. Wasn't anybody I was really interested in. But you know, I was fanning my wife. But you know what? My thoughts would begin to drift and I would start looking. And you know what happened? I'm sorry. I hit her in the face with a magazine. My wife's getting ready to birth my third son. And I'm hitting her in the face with a magazine. Why? Because I'm mad at her? No. Because my thoughts are drifting. I have a focus. My one responsibility to fan my wife with a magazine. But my mind was drifting away from what was most important at that moment. Shame on me. And our minds can drift from the things of heaven to the things of earth. And we can become very focused on the things of this life. These things are temporal. We need to have the proper perspective. Look with me at one other passage in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The Lord Jesus is talking here to his disciples and he's telling them about what is ahead. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be taken. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 16, and here's what the Lord Jesus started now to begin to reveal to his disciples. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." This can't happen to you. Look at verse 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Savorest there in the King James. You may have a different translation. It's the same in the Greek as we saw in the other two passages. Romans 8 and Philippians and Colossians 3. Is focusing. He says there to him, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan, because you're focusing. Your attention is on the things that are of men rather than the things that are of God. Where are your thoughts? Are they on the things of man or the things of God? Back to 1 John 2:16, we've had the lust of the flesh. That's not of the Father, it's of the world. We've had the lust of the eyes. That's not of the Father, it's of the world. And we have the pride of life. And that's not of the Father, it's of the world. And Peter was called Satan. That's our enemy. Peter was called Satan because his focus was on the things of man, the natural. I got a good idea, Lord, and I'll tell you what it ought to be. And Lord, here's how you ought to handle things, Peter was in essence saying. Do it this way and everything will go well, Lord. I got a suggestion for you. Is that like one of the most foolish things you can possibly imagine? That somebody would tell God what he ought to do. That somebody would think they know better than God. I dare say that every one of us in this room, at one time or another, maybe many times, have basically done that exact thing, same thing. We went our way. We focused on our plans. Our thoughts were on what we wanted. What would we think would be best for us. That's natural. That's what Peter was doing. That's of the natural man. I can handle this. I'm self-sufficient. It's an arrogance. It's the pride of life. It's a failure to recognize and submit to God's authority. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." What'd Satan do when he was Lucifer? He said, "I will ascend. I will." He had his own plan. He thought his plans were better than God's plans. He's God's enemy. How sad to think that the Lord Jesus would need to say to us, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're thinking about the things of man, not the things of God." The supernatural, that's what God wants our thoughts to be on. Not a striving for power and position and prestige. Not a longing for popularity and prominence. But rather a desire to respond to His will with humility and dependence and faith and appreciation and submission. Because the Lord Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live to themselves, but to Him who died for them and rose again. Where are your thoughts? Where are my thoughts? If we want to have on the helmet of salvation, if we want our minds to be protected, we need to think about what we're thinking about. Maybe our minds need to be changed. What are you thinking on? Is it the things of the flesh? Do your thoughts, when you don't have to think about work and you don't have to think about changing a diaper and you don't have to think about doing something for the kids and you don't have to think about what you're going to eat and you don't have to think about working in the yard or working out, when you don't have to think about anything, where does your mind go? I've been very convicted about that. Where does my mind go? Check it out this week. Give yourself a check. See where it goes. Is it the sensual or the spiritual? Where does your mind go? Is it the lust of the eyes? Is it the temporal? Does your mind go to the temporal, the things of this life, the material things? Or does it go to the eternal when it can go anywhere it wants to? Or anywhere you take it, you're choosing. Is it the pride of life? Do you think about the things of man? Do you think about your way and what you're going to do and what you think is best? Or do you think about God's way and about what He knows is best? Where's your mind? You know, as we come against Satan, or as Satan comes against us, if our minds are already on the spiritual and the eternal and the supernatural, we're going to have so much victory. Whether you're being tempted to immorality, whether you're being tempted to deceit, whether you're being tempted to worry, whether you're being tempted to anxiety, whether you're being tempted to selfishness, whatever the temptation is that's going to come to your mind, if you are thinking about the things that God wants you to think about, you're going to have the helmet of salvation on. Now, we're going to do one more study. I didn't get there. We're going to do one more 2 weeks from this morning. One more time, we're going to look at this subject of the mind. And then I promise we're going to finish up and move on. But this is important. And I want to challenge you for this week. Think about where your mind is. Check yourself. Where does it go? Where does it go? Challenge yourself to think about the spiritual and the eternal and the supernatural. Remember those three words: spiritual, eternal, supernatural. And take your mind there. You have to choose to do it, because it's probably by habit going to go the other way. But the Lord wants to give you that victory. In His grace, He has provided the Holy Spirit who lives within us to testify of Him, to guide us into all truth. And if we will, by faith, step out and allow Him, for by grace are ye saved through faith, the helmet of salvation, to bring us in to the family of God, to the army of God, to forgiveness, it's by grace through faith. But also, to have that victory in the mind, it's by grace through faith. It's a gift. But by faith, we've got to appropriate it. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. I want to give you just a moment to reflect in your own heart and in your own mind about these things. Maybe you need to tell God something. Maybe you need to plead with Him to remind you to make this check all during the day, every day of the coming week. Dear Father, I thank You for Your Word and how it speaks to the very depths of our being. Lord, it separates between soul and spirit even. And Father, our minds and hearts have been addressed by the Holy Spirit this morning as we've looked at Your Word. Father, we've seen some very clear and obvious contrasts between where our thoughts can be. Father, we would like to think that we're always focusing where we should, but Lord, as we're honest with ourselves and we're open to You, You convict us and You've convicted me. And I thank You for that. I thank You that You convict because You love us and You want the best for us. Father, I pray for any here this morning who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. They don't have You as their heavenly Father. Father, please convict them of their sin, their need for the Lord Jesus. And those of us who know You, Father, challenge us concerning our thought life. Father, we pray that this week we will check where our minds are going. Father, help us to think on the spiritual, the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. Help us to think on the things above, the eternal things, not the things of this earth. Father, help our focus to be not on the things of man, not the pride of life, our way, but rather on You, on Your way and Your plans. And Father, I commend each one here in this room to You, that You would do Your work in each of our hearts and our minds in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.